Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Muthoot Capital Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Vidhi Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Tanvi. Good afternoon, everyone. Today we have with us the management of Muthoot Capital Services, represented by Mr. Madhu Alexis, who is the Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Ramandeep Gill, who is the Chief Financial Officer. Without further ado, I shall now hand over to Mr. Ramandeep Gill for opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Vidhi. A very good afternoon to everyone. I'm very happy to converse with each one of you after having some sort of, you know, improvement. I'll say it as compared to the previous quarters, we have done stupendous improvement in terms of results. I'm sure most of you would have seen the published accounts, and also you must have seen the presentation on the website of the company. The accounts have been approved by the board late last evening only. As usual, you know, what we are doing is we are just about to give you the broad highlights of the entire results. If you have any queries, then, you know, you can ask post that. Let me begin with this, that, you know, we are extremely happy to post quarter-on-quarter growth in the profit of the company. We have posted a profit of 19.70 crore while comparing to quarter three of the last financial year, wherein we were at 4.52 crore only, recording a growth in the PAT of 338%. The overall book size of the company, which was 2,019.70 crore in the quarter three of the last financial year, and if we compare it with the quarter two of this financial year, wherein we were at 2,041.70 crore. Right now, we are ending our quarter three at 2,141.0 crore, thereby recording a growth of 6%. The disbursements from quarter two of financial year 2023, which was 298.40 crore, has now been grown up to 412.30 crore. That's with respect to the revenue of the company. The revenue of the company has been grown from 109.70 crore to 112.80 crore. The majority of the growth that the company has seen is basically reduction of their Stage 3 on book. We have been able to reduce 16.46% of Stage 3 book that was outstanding in Q3 of the last financial year. With respect to that, we have closed our book, specifically the Stage 3 book at 467 crore. The ROA and ROE of the company we have seen a very large chunk of growth over there. In Q3 of the last financial year, it was at 0.9%, whereas now we have recorded at 3.7%, whereas Q2 of this financial year, we have closed that at 3.5%. The ROE, which was at 3.4%, now we have closed at 18.3%, and in Q2 it was 17.8%. We have seen a growth of 438.2% as compared to the last financial year, whereas if you compare it with the last quarter, we have seen a growth of 3% approximately. With respect to the view, hawk-eye view of our operations, the first thing that has happened in this quarter is basically rating upgradation by CRISIL. We have been upgraded to A+ stable by CRISIL, wherein the attrition level of the company, which used to be 6%-7%, has now been reduced to 4%. The overall cost of borrowing, though we have seen a slight increase in that is not something, you know, which we are concerned as of now, because, you know, post our NNPA and GNPA, you know, reduction, we'll be able to attract good funds from the market at a relatively lower cost, so that we can cover in Q4 statements too. The overall NNPA of the company stands at 3.63%, whereas if we compare that from the opening of financial year, that is basically 5.82%. The PCR remains, the company is having a strong PCR of 86.55%, whereas if we compare the overall provision, that comes at approximately 20-odd%. With respect to the OPEX of the company, the revenue, net interest income of the company, and the loan loss provision. The revenue has grown, has shown a remarkable growth right from quarter on quarter. If we talk specifically from for this financial year, it has been increased from 106.4 crores in Q1. That has increased to 109.7 in Q2 and now 112.8 in Q3. The net interest income of the company has been increased from 73.7 in the Q1 to 75.1 in Q3. Whereas OPEX as a percentage of NIA, therein we can see a slight bit of increase because of the fact that our remuneration of the MD that has been approved by the shareholder in the month of January. For that, you know, we have already taken the provision in Q3 itself. Then that's the only reason wherein we can see the OPEX increase. The collection cost of the company has been reduced by approximately 2.10%, whereas loan loss provisions, without increasing a single rupee of extra provision, we have been able to reduce our NNPA. So our NNPA was 4.50% in Q2. That has been brought down to 3.63%. The EPS of the company has shown a growth from 9.0 in Q1 to 12.0 in Q3. There has been a improvement in the capital adequacy of the company. As of Q1, it used to be 20.30%. That has now, we have now closed it at 23.94% presently. This now talking about the business of the company, I would request my chief operating officer to take you through the business of the company for the entire quarter and the recovery performances. Mr. Madhu, if you can take it over.
Yeah, thank you, Raman, and thanks everyone to for joining the call. Good noon to all of you once again. The results are in front of you. I think the industry also kind of has shown some kind of uptick as far as Q3 is concerned. We saw about 39.97 lakh two-wheeler being sold in the market during the Q3, which is clearly increase of about 27% QOQ and about 12% year on year compared to last quarter Q3, last year Q3. Overall, we see that for the December YTD, overall two-wheeler sales is about 1 crore 7 lakh. That's our estimate that has happened in the country. And we hope that this quarter again, it should be somewhere equivalent to the Q3, about 40 lakh or 45 lakh, around that vehicle should get sold. There are challenges in terms of the specific models availability, because you should be aware that there are new norms, safety norms coming up, which should be applicable from 1st of April. And maybe by Feb and March itself, the OEMs would start launching those models, and you know that could also be in the market. So we hope that a good uptick should happen in Q4 as well. So from two-wheeler industry perspective, I'd been maintaining earlier also, this is a baseline. Last 2 years was a baseline, and you know the numbers should start looking up. A lot of media reports come that two-wheeler is flattish in terms of last couple of years, whereas the car sales has gone up, it has improved. Yes, for the four-wheelers, there's an uptick in commercial vehicles. Two-wheelers, definitely, this was the bottom, and then we should look at, how it takes off. One of the key factors would be the how the rural sector performs in terms of rural demand. And that is one booster. If that kind of improves as we go forward in Q4 and Q1 next year, I think we should be back to the levels what it used to be earlier. When I say back to the earlier levels, it is about 2 crore sales in the industry. So I would say two-wheeler sales is bottomed out, and with the rural uptick, whenever it happens, I think we'll have a very good sales in the market. Having said that, last time we had been mentioning that We had taken a slew of measures in terms of our portfolio correction. Then we had also looked at our credit and risk norms. We had, gone back and analyzed our portfolio. We have taken a lot of steps in terms of correcting our portfolio, which we kind of completed in Q3 itself. And now, as a initiative towards regaining back our market share and regaining back our, the markets where we were operating, we have, as of now, we have launched a lot of new schemes. With the objective that we'll be able to get additional segment of customer from bottom of the pyramid. We look at the slightly above that middle income group. We want to go into tier 1 centers. We want to go to metro cities where the volumes are higher. So we have launched schemes, akin to getting the market share there. So entire credit policy is recalibrated and so we are very confident in terms of, how we are going to balance our risk and besides also take care of the market need. We have looked at correcting the infant delinquencies. A lot of initiatives have happened on that and that's one reason why our lower bucket performance has been good. I'll come to the, data after that. After explaining what exactly we are trying to do in credit and sales. Besides that, from dealer perspective, we have refined our dealer program, dealer offers in terms of trade advance, in terms of marketing activities, because Q4 is where we'll build up our tempo and Q1 is one of the good months for good quarters for the two-wheeler business. So these two quarters is where we feel that there's a lot of action that we will get into. And also we have tied up our, we have relooked at our incentive scheme to reward on higher performance with, better portfolio. So a lot of measures we have taken which partially got reflected in Q3 and we hope that we should have a very strong portfolio as we go forward. On collections front, I'm glad to tell you that, and I've been repeatedly telling in terms of our collection efficiencies, we've been maintaining about 100%, and as on December, we were at 105%, which is a very encouraging number that we are having. And from the bucket perspective, we had been maintaining X bucket around 96%, which is one of the best in the industry. X bucket generally is about 90 to 93%, which is termed as best. And the other buckets also, we were around 83 to 85% collection efficiencies. So on the lower bucket also, there's a huge control that is there in terms of managing the slippages. Our collection model is in the format that how we control the slippages in the lower bucket. So entire incentive structures are aligned to that. We discussed about NPA briefly. Raman told about what is happening on the NPA piece. We see that it has from March or April and by now, we have made a significant progress as far as GNPA is concerned. We were at around 471.96, which was around 3.64 NNPA. Jan also, we made a significant improvement in this, which maybe after the Q4, we'll come back and report. So we see that there is a substantial improvement in our NPAs that we had focused on. Initially, the improvements were gradual, but as the progress happens, as the more customer connect happens, and they start paying one, two installments, and then they start paying more and come out of NPA. So the 9 months has shown the improvement has kind of improved substantially. We hope to do a whatever we are committing in terms of NPA controls, we should be able to deliver by March. Quick look at our portfolio. We kind of track our portfolio about how it was, how the old portfolio is, how the new portfolio is. new portfolio is, you know, after second lockdown, the business that we had done, how the performance of that, we feel that that is very robust in the sense that the NPAs are much, much below than the pre-COVID levels of that particular portfolio. That is, we evaluated 1st August 21 onwards until now, how it is performing. We have looked at the, you know, softer buckets, where, you know, majority of our book of the new portfolio, about 90% of our portfolio is within zero and within 30, which is a very encouraging portfolio. So the fact that, you know, from two-wheeler product perspective, whether it is something that that we will be able to grow robustly and profitably with a very strong portfolio, yes, that is there. The evidence is there in front of us. So all the slew of measures that we had taken is now very clearly reflecting in terms of our numbers, in terms of our portfolio. So just wanted to assure you that we are on the right direction. We are making a turnaround. And I hope that, you know, while Q3 results is, you know, first of it, showing the U-turn, I hope that as we close the year, we should be able to deliver what we had been promising throughout this particular year. I'll open this. Okay, I think Raman, you may have to cover some more slides, I think. So over to back to you. And if there's any more questions, we can, you know, deep dive during the Q&A.
Thank you. So I just want to run past through the liability side of the company, where we are, what would be our approach, and how we are being treated in the market as we speak. So first of all, while talking to this, the promoter group remains very strong. They are having a shareholding of 62.62%. That remains unchanged. Now talking about the liabilities of the company, wherein how we are approaching as of now, first I'll explain you where we are. Right now we were relying more on, you know, working capital demand loan of the company, wherein what we have seen is that relying on the working capital demand loan, wherein we are taking it from the PSU bank. Now we had a bad phase of, you know, having higher level of GNPA, which has now been reduced. And now we have been able to attract those, you know, pending working capital demand loan rollovers from the market. But in order to make ourselves more secure in the future, recently, you know, we have started changing the borrowing mix of the company too, wherein we have been able to focus more towards the term loan of the companies, raising the funding through MLDs. And right now we are about to close, you know, two NCDs too, wherein we are attracting more banks. We have been able to attract IDFC First in the Q3. Right now, you know, we have been in active touch with, you know, ESEF, and there are few banks, you know, which were waiting for our results. And I'm sure that, you know, post seeing these results, wherein we have shown a considerable growth in the reduction of NPA without having the impact of provision on that, that, you know, we will be able to raise more bank loans and NCDs now. Going forward, as you know, our CEO has told that target is to, you know, bring down this NPA figure to less than 3%, which would be, you know, considered as one of the best in the industry. Therein, you know, post that we'll be able to focus more on the cheaper source of funds. This second. Third thing is we are also focusing, we have just shifted our focus to fixed deposits of the organization too. When we talk about fixed deposits, we have a book of close to 43 odd crores. The target is, you know, to have competitive rates in the market, and then, you know, we can attract more and more fixed deposits. Therein we are on the verge of finalizing a separate fixed deposit team for the company, which will be, you know, in active touch with the group companies, with the outside world, with the corporates of the world, so that we can attract at least the target is to, you know, to take it to the next financial year approximately 400 to 500 odd CR. That's the overall target that is in mind. We will also keep that target in the business plan that, you know, we are about to frame. So that will help us, you know, in becoming more liquid and to, you know, and to face such tough situations in the future if that could arise, you know, from events like COVID and all. So that is an overall update on the liability side of the company. Over to you, Vidhi, if anyone wants to ask, you know, we are happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Yash Agarwal from JM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is on the disbursement breakup. So there's something called as other loans, which is 50 crores. Could you give some color on what segment are these loans in?
So shall I take this question, Mr. Madhu?
Yeah, yeah, please go ahead.
So in, with respect to other loans, so we are having a blend of three portfolios there. One is a portfolio of two-wheeler loans. The second is a portfolio of co-lending loans. Third is a portfolio of corporate loans, wherein, you know, we are providing some sort of corporate loans and funding to the outside market.
So what is the breakup within that, sir? How much is corporate loans out of this 50?
So that so this is basically the additional 50 crore that we have done. So corporate loan would be close to, you know, 95% from that.
So, out of the 50, about 95% is corporate loan.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, how do you see the yields and credit cost in this business?
So credit cost, yeah. If you see one slide that I have, you know, separately prepared for corporate loan, and I have also presented it, that our performance with the corporate loan as we speak is basically 100%, right? There were few cases, you know, which we have seen in the past that got bad. But other than that, you know, majority of the book is basically very good. And our costing, if we talk about the NNPA ECL particular model that we are adopting for that, the overall provisioning stands at 0.60% of that.
And so what is the ticket size of this corporate loans? You know, generally, what are the ticket size that you're doing?
Generally, depending upon the size of the company, you know, so we start with 1 crore, 2 crore, 3 crore, and somewhere, you know, around approximately 7.5 crore.
So as per the policy,
we can go up to 15 crores, but we don't go beyond, you know, 7.5 crores.
Okay. And is there any idea to, you know, cap the corporate loans at any percentage of AUM? You know, currently as I see, it's about 147.
So with respect to that, you know, we are targeting, you know, not more than, you know, 15 to 20% of the AUM in a particular financial year that we'll be able to disburse the additional book of corporate loan that we'll be generating.
Okay. And secondly, on the, you know, the retail disbursement has also bounced back quarter on quarter sharply.
Yeah.
So yeah. Is this trend sustainable, and are we expecting to see some more improvement in this trend, you know, in the retail disbursement?
Mr. Madhu, will you be able to
do this? So we are expecting to continue the trend, because I mentioned that, you know, we have kind of revamped our entire approach in terms of the business through various channels. I think we'll continue the trend, and Q4 should be one of the best as far as last, you know, three quarters are concerned.
Got it. Also, sir, on just a little bit of color, you said there's some provision made on the MD's salary. So is that a one-time provision on the OPEX bit that you were talking about? And what is the amount if it is one-time?
So I will be taking it. So, yeah, Mr. Yes, what happened is we have posted a loss in the last financial year. Thereafter, the salary of MD has been revised. Though this has been approved by the board, but there has to be a consent that we have to take from the shareholder. It's a one-time hit. Why I'm saying this? Because the salary was on hold since that. Because the earlier MD used to have a salary of 4.20 CR that has been reduced to 3 CR for the last financial year. In the financial year where the company has suffered a loss. So I'll call it as a one-time OPEX hit.
So 3 crore salary that was for last financial year has been accounted in this quarter. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And my last question is on the credit cost estimate. So, I mean, this quarter, I think there was hardly any 1.5-2 crore credit cost. How do you see the credit cost shaping up for the next financial year and, you know, even for the fourth quarter?
So, yes, what we have seen is, you know, for the with respect to the fourth quarter, now the trend that we are doing is we have been able to tighten all these, you know, softer buckets wherein, you know, we used to have an efficiency of 70-75% in the previous 6 months. That has not been increased to 90-95% in the softer buckets. And in the harder buckets, we have already seen, you know, what we have done. We have been able to reduce it, say, significantly. So as far as, you know, I am concerned, I'm thinking the credit cost will remain more or less the same. Specifically, if we talk about the portfolio that we have generated from August 2021 onwards, the portfolio is close to, you know, 1,300 odd crores, wherein we have seen a GNPA of not more than 2.7%, which is again one of the best in the industry. So I'm expecting the same cost to be carried forward at least for, you know, next 3 quarters.
Okay. Thank you so much, Raman and Madhusan, and you know, congrats on a good set of numbers and best of luck.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First, can you help me with slippages for the quarter?
Could not get you properly. Can you please repeat the question?
Slippages for the quarter, can you help me with that number? What are the slippages?
Slippages in the sense, with respect to what?
In respect of credit, as in, you know, what are the accounts that are moving from one bucket to another in terms of, you know, the NPA slippages?
NPA slippages.
I can take it offline if you don't have the number handy.
Wait for a second. So just to provide you a brief name, I can answer it here itself. That's not an issue. If we compare our performance of bucket X 1, 2 and 3, right?
Right.
With respect to this, I believe that your question lies there only. Our X bucket, which was it, if we talk about, you know, pre-COVID, the X bucket stood at 97%. If we speak now, it is more or less the same. There is, you know, some sort of which I will, if I have to compare it with pre-COVID number, then yes, there we have, you know, we have been there, or we have been, you know, able to beat our bucket 2 and 3 numbers. But if we talk about slippages, if you see for the last 4 quarters, we have only improved, specifically in bucket X 1, 2 and 3. That is the slide that we have also, you know, presented in our financial presentation too.
Okay, great. So I'll see the slide, and if I can take it offline. Yeah.
No problem.
Great, thanks. And the second question is, what do you expect the loan book to grow for next couple of years, like FY 24 and 25?
What is it you want to take it?
24, 25, we are in the process of, you know, preparing a budget, but we want to be there around 4,000 plus by 2026. That is a strategic objective. But we should be able to give you a very concrete plan, maybe, you know, once we close the year. We'll definitely give our roadmap. We'll come back to...
Basically, the internal target is like to double the book in 3 years broadly. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. So pre-COVID, we had thought of, you know, we piloted used car business, then we went into 10 centers, then we had to shelve it after, you know, COVID came in. We had plans for launching consumer durables. So a lot of other, you know, things we wanted to do, which we had shelved. Now we are, you know, going like used car, we want to go big next year. So that would become part of our budgeting this year. We are in the process of doing that. We want to grow our MFL business, that is a business through our flagship company, which was very robust this year. We have shown growth across all the zones as far as MFL, Muthoot Fincorp sourcing business is concerned. Used car I mentioned. There are various other pilots we are doing, through our digital processes. Our digital arm, which is One Muthoot, maybe some other point in time we'll tell about it. They are also working closely with us in terms of, doing certain pilots. So we are working on various products. Maybe post Q4 is where we should be able to tell something about it. So there are various other initiatives that would happen besides two wheeler to make us reach somewhere there.
Great. I have one last question, if I may.
Yeah, please.
So how are we approaching the overall electric two-wheeler piece in the business? And any number if you could share for that? I mean, if you can share, like, how much market share we have or any strategic thing on this piece?
So electric two-wheeler, if you ask me whether we are going very aggressive, as of now, no. We have tie-up with, a couple of OEMs, but right now we want to understand this market because this is a totally, it is not like the other two-wheelers where the value of two-wheelers as well as electric vehicle, electric two-wheelers are concerned, 50% is towards battery, okay?
Hmm.
And if battery, something happens to the battery or it can be removed, then there is no value. So tomorrow if I go and repossess this vehicle, my loss on sale would be very high. Okay. So the kind of customer segment who is buying it and, what is their repayment behavior, irrespective of whether vehicle is, hypothecated with us or not, how their behavior is going to be. So electric two-wheeler is going to be kind of, personal loan. That is what I've been telling. So if you are comfortable giving a personal loan to that guy, you can do this particular product. So we are kind of, from pilot perspective, we are doing it. Once we understand this market well, and also we want to evaluate the secondary market. So in vehicle finance, any kind of vehicle finance, whether two-wheeler, four-wheeler, commercial vehicle, construction equipment, it is very important to study the secondary market, how well it is developed. So once that is developed and you have some feedback that this is what is happening in the second-hand market, that is where, our aggression would come in terms of what is the, depreciated value once it goes out of the showroom after 6 months, after 1 year, after, 18 months. So till then, I'll call it pilot. I don't want to give any numbers because financing vehicles is not just that product is there and you start funding it. You need to study it for a longer period of time, 12 months, 18 months, and then you go full hog once you understand that. Okay, so right now for me it is more of pilot and understanding that product, and maybe around Q1 we can give some kind of bigger picture about this.
Sure. Just one add-on to this. Like, for example, you may be present with a distributor, right? Suppose, there is a distributor who is selling a traditional vehicle, ICE vehicle, and the same distributor would be selling an electric vehicle. So in that case, you're currently funding the traditional vehicle but not funding the electric vehicle, right? Is that a fair understanding?
So first of all, we look at the customer profile. Okay. So I said that if for the EV, the customer profile is from my categorization, if he is A plus customer, I'll fund electric vehicle to him.
Okay.
But if B category of customer comes and buys both the vehicle, my preference would be to sell the ICE two-wheeler, because tomorrow if God forbid something happens and I have to take back the vehicle,
right,
is protected.
Great. Thanks a lot. That was very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Sheth from Dinero Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the question. Actually, I'm new to the company and wanted to understand our arrangement with Muthoot Finance. So how does it work and how do we use their branch setup?
Okay, so I'll keep it quick so that the with as less time as possible, I'll explain. Muthoot Finance is totally separate group, and Muthoot Papachan Group is a different group. Okay?
Yes.
Muthoot Finance, most of the people commonly call it Red Muthoot, and Muthoot Papachan Group, where MCSL belongs, is Blue Muthoot. Okay?
Right.
So our flagship company is Muthoot Fincorp, which is mostly into gold loan and SME and, you know, that kind of MCSL into vehicle finance. We have Muthoot Microfin, which does microfinance business. We have Muthoot Housing Finance, which focuses on affordable funding. We have Muthoot Chits, which is, you know, doing the chit business. One of the teams, you know, IPL teams that we have, we are the title sponsors is RCB. Okay, right. So the Muthoot Fincorp that they write is our group. Okay, so that's the Blue right. Muthoot. So there is no arrangement with Muthoot Finance. That's a separate company, although the family tree is the same. But now the second and third gen has taken over, so there is a very clear-cut segregation. Our brand ambassador is Vidya Balan. Most of the time, you know, in our advertisement, you'll see Vidya Balan. She is our brand ambassador. So with this, you can distinguish any of our group companies. If you see these kinds of, pictures, you can understand that it belongs to Muthoot Papachan Group, which is Muthoot Blue. So wherever you see Muthoot Fincorp Blue board, we have the Fincorp, Muthoot Fincorp has more than 3,600 plus branches across the country. So anywhere you see that board with blue color, that is ours. So Muthoot Capital is part of Muthoot Papachan Group, but we are the listed company, only listed company right now. The listing for other companies are in the process. Maybe some point in time we'll come back and tell you. So this is a difference. Muthoot Capital Services, when they do two-wheeler business, Muthoot Fincorp, because of their network, they help us in sourcing this business. Their team, their branch, lot of customers walk into their branches. Some point in time, the walk-in used to be 1 lakh plus per day, which should be around 75,000 right now. 75,000 customers walk in every day to their branches, 3,600 plus across the country. And when they come, we, you know, the branch team can offer two-wheeler product to them if they want to buy the two-wheeler. That is our strength. And that is during my initial address, I told that the business growth through Fincorp branches is high. It was robust. And that is where we want to grow more business so that my dependence on dealer comes down and I go to the market on my own strength.
Right. So it's just a sourcing agreement that is there with the Fincorp group?
Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned in your opening remarks that you have taken a lot of portfolio correction steps and launched new schemes. So I just saw the history that we had taken a big write-off and the amount of stage 3 assets also went up to 23%. So can you elaborate our important steps which we took or a portfolio correction, what we did, or a key learning, what we are doing right now?
So the NPA that got bloated in March was mainly due to adhere to the PCA norms and adhere to the RBI guidelines, which, you know, till September we were allowed to not to provide for that, but we provided in the month of March, and then there was collection effort to reduce that, and that's what we've been discussing, that 515 crore coming down to about 466 in Jan or 471.96 in the Q3. Okay.
Right.
So the corrective steps here is that see the portfolio pre-COVID was it a problem or did some strategic mistake? No, it is not like that. It is a customer segment that we operate. As a group, our vision is to provide finance to the bottom of the pyramid. So MCSL, MFL, Microfin, Affordable Housing, their focus is the bottom of the pyramid. In the bottom of pyramid, when their cash flow stops for even a month or two or three, you know, that impacts their repayment capability. Okay. And with the COVID, it was impacted more. So this, all these customers who are in the NPA, you know, these customers are not that they have run away or you know, they are they cannot pay the money. These people pay us one installment, two installments, sometimes three installments. They are paying me some money, but they are not able to pay 5-6 and come out of NPA. Okay, and instead of writing it off or instead of go full hog and repossess these vehicles, what we say, we'll give you time, you pay, no problem. Okay, that is why with the network of branches, a lot of customer would come and make part payment also. 3,000 is the installment, they may come and pay 1,000, 1,500, and you know, they can come anytime and any, you know, they can pay whatever amount they can afford to. Okay, so while my NPA is bloated in the month of March and April, and now it has started coming down because these are the customers who are coming and paying. And I need some more time that, you know, these customers pay in full and come out of NPA. Okay. So the customer segment was good, robust, no problem. There was a black swan event, which now is gradually getting corrected. Okay. So did we make any strategic mistake? No. And that's what I'm telling, that with all the improvements that we are seeing, we are overconfident that, you know, the segment and the kind of strategy we are having is in line with, you know, what would give us a robust portfolio and also, you know, ensure profitability as we go forward. There are a lot of, you know, these questions people are, what are the, you know, changes you have done in your credit and this and that. See, these are all season driven. These are all location driven. There's an analysis behind this. There's a proper, you know, to and fro data with the bureaus to understand how our customer is and is it in line with the market, you know, performance. So we keep on doing that and recalibrate our credit strategy. So these are more detailed. I cannot kind of tell on a call what exactly we are doing. We can get into off call, you know, offline, and we can discuss this. But definitely one of the points that I mentioned is that I want to add more customer segments slightly above my current, you know, bottom of the pyramid, like middle income customers, more bankable customers who is having, you know, much better banking habits than my existing customers. So we have launched kind of special schemes for them. I want to enter into tier one metro cities where the volume is slightly higher. So these are the future strategies, but we have kind of, you know, recalibrated everything, and now we'll only look at, you know, how we grow the numbers.
In addition to it, you know, sir has explained it so well. Still, I would like to add one more point over here. This point is regarding, you know, thanks for promoters on that, wherein, you know, we have started one NPA call. You know, that has been started, you know, 6 months back, wherein daily call will be happening. And so that promoters, us, we can see, you know, what is happening on the ground actually. And where do they need our support, and how can we provide them a faster support as compared to, you know, previous thing wherein, you know, we need to wait for their mails and all those things. No. Whatever things that can be, you know, supported by the promoter, by the CFO, by the CEO, that can be, you know, done immediately. And so that, you know, we can see an improvement in the number right from the next day itself. So that is where, you know, that is where I believe that the game changer was, wherein, you know, to interact with the ground level team on a daily basis. And we are still interacting it, you know, in order to bring it down to, you know, lower than, you know, 430 by March. That is what the internal target is.
Thank you for the answer. And last question from my side. We just said that we have a target of reaching a 4,000 crore AUM by 26. So, majorly it will be driven by two-wheelers only, or we also said that corporate will also be a part, like 15-20% of it. And what do you categorize as corporate?
Yes, sir. So, in order to answer your question, sir, you want to take
Raman,
it?
I'll take. So, I mentioned that we'll have more products added to our stable. Besides two-wheeler, and I kind of gave you a flavor that how, what is the upside in terms of the expansion that we can do, geographic expansion. I gave you a flavor on the customer segments, the opportunity in customer segments that we have got, which would give us upside. So, plus the business through our flagship company, which is Muthoot Fincorp Limited, the gold loan company branch, branches. So there. So there's a huge upside for us as far as the existing product is concerned. Plus we'll add new products. New products may not be a very high what do you call it, top line pulling kind of thing, but it would establish us very strongly in next couple of years in terms of diversifying our product lines and diversifying our risk and lot of other factors. Corporate loans is not going to be more than 7 or 8%. What Ramandeep said was additional that we add maybe 15-20%, but from overall book perspective it may not be above 10%. 8-9% is where we have maintained. So this would be the structure of the entire thing, but prominently, predominantly, it would be driven by two-wheeler business, plus the upsides that I've told you.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditesh Rao from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
So sir, we had carried some high write-offs in the previous year. So can we expect any? Can we expect any write-backs in this year or probably next year?
Okay. So in terms of write-offs, write-off happened. Yes, specifically in the Q2 also it had happened. The thing is that we do have an additional overlay of 212.99 CR, right? And the way, we are on the verge of improving the NNP of the company without, additionally writing off anything, we will again, wait for another 2 to 3 quarters in order to take this decision.
Okay, understood. Sir, but could you please quantify what was the amount of write-off that we carried and what is the amount of write-back that we can expect?
So write-off that, specifically if we talk about Q2, that we had a write-off of 38 odd crores. In Q3, it's zero. As far as write-back is concerned, that will solely depend upon, recovery, which we can see. Though we are in the process of that, and I'll be able to comment it better after my Q4 results.
Sir, actually, I was asking about the write-off that you carried in the last year, which was comparatively high. So I was asking about write-backs from that.
So that's what I'm saying. Now we are expecting some sort of recoveries, and we have been able to recover only a small amount as of now. Though there is a major chunk that we are expecting in Q4 for that.
Okay, got it.
I'll be able to say after Q4.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and 1. The next question is from the line of Vidisha from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I just wanted to know, this from the sourcing channel, we have mentioned that, we are scaling up our dealership points, and also we are doing a lot of initiatives from our Motor Fincorp branches. So if you can give some color on how has that scaled up or seen some improvement from there, and from which sourcing channel has done better in terms of disbursement this quarter?
There is no way we should distinguish among various channels, because this quarter we were more into recalibrating our credit strategy, our pricing, our schemes and things like that. But there are very clear signs that the business growth from our FinCorp channel had been one of the best in terms of the growth that we have seen Q2 versus Q3 last year versus this year. So we are seeing that, and at the same time the kind of activities that they indulge into in terms of the GTM and things like that, we have seen a lot of encouraging inquiries from the two-wheeler business perspective. So I think it is about how we grow in the upcoming quarters. Whatever initiative we had to take, now we have completed that. We are kind of reinforcing our manpower, which would support the branches across the country. We are adding more manpower in that. This particular channel would have additional, support in terms of our internal manpower, which would drive these branches in terms of whatever kind of support they need, tie up with dealers and things like that. they themselves are doing a ecosystem tie-up whereby the driving schools, the mechanics, all those ecosystem partners are kind of aligning with them and referring businesses to them. So all these things would take some time, you know, to show the thing. For the Q3, I think almost MFL has shown a very robust growth, but from dealer front, we think we have kind of moved out from non-profitable business, smaller dealers where we were not getting volume, and now we have moved into bigger dealers. Realignment that we have done, and of course I mentioned about getting into tier 1 centers and metro would be subsequent, but tier 1 centers, lot of you know, big dealers we are trying to tie up with them, which maybe subsequent quarters we should be able to see the growth in the numbers. So Q3 would not be a right quarter to do that, but definitely the initiatives that we have taken and the traction that we have seen last couple of months is very encouraging. Maybe post Q4 we would be able to give you more flavor on, you know, how the channels have been kind of realigned and rebuilt.
Okay, thank you so much, sir, on this. Sir, also if you can give some color on your co-lending business. I know we were we were tying up with some partners and in procedures to close some. So I guess in the northern side we are doing business, and western part of like region we have still yet to do. Like any idea, any color on how things are progressing there?
Okay. So co-lending business has taken off well for us. That is the third channel that we are having. And currently we are having two partners. We are looking for more. There are more partners who are approaching us, which we should be able to kind of tie up as we go forward. We see this as a as one important business source for us. Among the two partners, we have a, you know, kind of buyback agreement as well with them, that once it crosses 60 plus, it reaches 70, they buy back the portfolio from us, and that is out of our book. So as of now, with nil NPA, we are, you know, operating through them. One of the partners, they are predominantly north and east. So the business traction, because, you know, north and east, our presence was lower. So we wanted the partner to focus there so that wherever we were not able to reach, they are able to reach. The other one is in Punjab. So Punjab and that belt, we were kind of weak. So we wanted someone to operate from there. So we are spread out north and east, and specifically, you know, around Punjab, the numbers are robust through them. Maybe we'll share those numbers offline separately right now. And with the new additions, maybe we'll be able to give a bigger picture on, you know, what exactly we want to build through the co-lending business.
So any color on how things are progressing in the western side also? Because I think we were keen on tying up with partners there as well, right? So is that happening, or for time being we are only looking to approach via our branches and our channels?
Go ahead.
So with respect to this, you know, we have just tied up with the co-lending partners approximately 3 to 4 months back, right? Right now it's going very good for us, and I am sure that, you know, we would wait for another three months in order to see, you know, what sort of, you know, problems that we are facing, or what sort of, you know, good things that we can negotiate with the upcoming partners. So there are pros and cons to everything. So we will just wait for this quarter, and then based on the results that we will see. For the co-lending existing agreement, we can go ahead in onboarding the new partners to be across the country. Though we have started evaluating these things.
So for the rest, okay. the couple of partners that I'm talking to you is from the west. So that should take care, you know, as we go forward. So west also we are looking at, you know, how to kind of fill up the areas where we were not able to go.
Okay. So, is my understanding correct that we wait for some time and see how these two partners, how the co-lending business is going on with them, and then after some months, maybe we'll start approaching partners within the Western region. Is that correct?
No, there is no condition to that, whether we'll add new partners based on the experience of the current two. We want to experiment with at least three or four partners so that, you know, there's a flavor, and we know that, you know, what is doing fine, what is not doing fine. So we are looking at additional two, at least two more partners. So it would be four, you know, three or four more partners as we close this financial year.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Raman, you would like to, and then I'll pitch in.
Sorry, I think there's one more question from Amit Mehendale. Can we take that, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, please, please.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, great. So I think in one of the earlier comments, there was a discussion around starting funding for used cars in that segment. Can you also, you know, shed some light on, you know, what is our thinking there? Because it's a fairly large market.
Yeah. So used car, I mentioned that we already started used car. We piloted, and then we went into 10 centers. And once the COVID happened, and then we kind of, you know, shelved that. But we continue to do in Kerala. We do used cars in Kerala. And our experience as of now is excellent as far as Kerala portfolio is concerned. We want to grow this business. So we went to 10 centers. We'll go back to these 10 centers once we budgeted. This is the quarter when we are budgeting, and, you know, we are coming to a conclusion that, okay, this is something what we'll drive next financial year. So we know this business. We have piloted it. We have the outcome of the pilot. We know what are the next phase of, you know, areas that we'll go in the next phase. And then we budget it, and then we start doing this business. This is a huge market, no doubt. You said that. And I mentioned that we are a company, we are a group which focuses on the bottom of the pyramid. The business that we want to do in used car is the ticket size from, let's say, 2.5 lakh onwards till, let's say, 8 lakh or 9 lakh or 10 lakh. This is the value of the vehicle that the segment of our customers would like to buy. Why we want to do used cars? So we say that, what is the next need of our customer? First need was two-wheeler, to have a two-wheeler. Next need would be a four-wheeler because the family is graduating, his income is increasing, his family is becoming bigger. So can we offer that? So, and a robust at the very economical price. So that's why we say that we are looking at a ticket size where, you know, this is the, you know, 2.5 onwards till 6 or 7 or maximum 8 lakhs. That is the segment that we are looking at. Whereas in the, you know, market, when you go into, you know, what other competitors do, they want to do high ticket funding, like minimum 10 lakh, minimum 8 lakh, minimum 20 lakh, 30 lakh, like that. So our approach is totally different. We are looking at our segment of customer, what is their need, and fulfilling that. So right now, I'm not saying that aspirationally we are looking this as a very big, you know, top line strategy. No, it is not top line. It is about our customer, what my customer needs, and how I can do. What we did last time, and I've been telling all of you about 10 centers is where we went. We'll go to these 10 centers again, and then from there, we'll bring the traction. So as of now, this is the, you know, feedback I'm having right now. But maybe after Q4, when we come up with our final results for the year, at that time, we'll elaborate on a business plan also.
Great. Sounds good. Many thanks.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you once again. I hope that we are able to address most of the observations or queries that have been raised by you. And with these kind of results, I'm super happy and excited that the journey from here onward would be onwards and upward for the company.
I am sure that, you know, with this respect, the profitability that has been increased now, we are intending, you know, to increase the business volumes of the company in a large way, wherein, you know, we have been able to do that in the past also. And now, you know, slowly and steadily, we are on the verge of, you know, reaching that position. So I am expecting larger business chunks with higher business profitability in the quarters coming forward. And put together, I just want organization to do well. And, you know, we need your support. We need your prayers. Best wishes as always. That's it from my end. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thanks a lot.
So thanks. Thanks to the every participant. Just to assure you that, you know, we had gone through a tough patch like any other NBFC has gone through. We took some time to revive back. And I mentioned that it is about our customer segment and how we sail with them and bring our portfolio back to shape. So whatever, you know, steps we took, we have evidence in front of us that we are in the right direction. And there is a uptick in terms of the performance. And especially even today, if you ask me what was the, you know, highlight of the performance, it is about how we have been able to control our slippages in terms of collections and how we have been able to bring back our NPAs to normalization or resolve them. That was the highlight. We'll continue to do that till our portfolio is robust and the confidence of lenders and confidence of investors are back. I think we are on the right direction somewhere post Q4 or around Q1, we should be where we were pre-COVID levels. I think we are, as an organization, from board perspective, but from promoter perspective, from our team spirit perspective, there's a lot of positivity. And I think we should be able to deliver what we have promised. Please continue supporting us. Your best wishes, your prayers are also very important. And thank you very much. Thank you, Vidhi, for the call. Over to you.
Thank you. And Tanvi, we can end the call.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.